a massive reading from 1 Kings today. Last Sunday we have the reading on David being anointed as king of Israel and Judah. And he reigned for 40 years. And in today's reading, we fast-tracked 80 years. That is, after David's reign, his son Solomon succeeded as king, and he reigned for another 40 years. And now his grandson, David's grandson, Rehoboam, became king. But unfortunately, he only reigned for 17 years. Well, how were they like? 1 Samuel chapter 13 tells us that David was a person after God's heart. Well, that doesn't mean that he was a perfect person. No. In fact, he had made grave mistakes, namely adultery and murder. But he's a repentant person. Once he realized his sins, he truly repented and he has expressed his reliance on God and his faithfulness to God throughout the Psalter, the Psalms, as we read. But what about Solomon? 1 Kings chapter 3 tells us that when he became king at a young age, he didn't ask God to make him wealthy or victorious over his enemies, but instead, he asked for wisdom to govern his people. And for that, God was very pleased with his request and blessed him with riches and honor as well. However, wise as he might be, Solomon became foolish in God's eyes by marrying 700 royal wives and 300 concubines. That's a lot. And out of which, many, many of these wives are from foreign nations who worship other gods. Consequently, he set up altars all over Jerusalem to worship all these idols to appease his wives. His heart has strayed far from the Lord. Well, we are not told exactly how many children Solomon had with his 1,000 partners. I can imagine. But definitely not just a few, or not just one, like Rehoboam. But imagine the kind of advice or counsel he could have given his children. How would he find time to be a good father? We can imagine. Well, Solomon was supposed to be the wisest man in his times, but his foolishness in straying from God's ways and walking his own ways not only has led to his own failure, but his children's as well. In his old age, he oppressed his people by putting the entire tribes of Joseph into forced labor to build the terraces and fill the gaps in the city wall. And when he learned that God is raising up Jeroboam to tear his kingdom apart, he sought to kill Jeroboam. Well, regardless of how wise he might have been, having a heart after God and desiring to walk in God's way is far more important and far more needed. So wise as he might have been, he ended foolishly. Now what about his son, Rehoboam? How far has this apple fallen far from the tree? As we have heard in this morning's reading, when he became king, being inexperienced, he sought counsel from people around him. Especially when Jeroboam and the people of Israel came to him pleading for the reduction of the hard labor imposed on them by his father. Well, Jeroboam couldn't answer immediately, but he asked for time to allow him to seek counsel, which is good. Wise of him to do that. But sadly, he followed his heart's desire instead of following God's will. When he asked the elders for advice, those elders who had been following his father loyally and giving his father counsel as well, when these elders with wisdom advised him to treat his people well, to serve them, and they would serve him in return forever. This is in line with God's desire that we should be compassionate to all people, loving others as ourselves, isn't it? But no, that's not what Rehoboam had in mind. He disregarded the advice of these elders and sought the opinions of his mates as well, instead, who advised him to oppress the people further, to show who is boss. Actually, that's what he wanted. Truly, he was more interested in his position and exerting his authority than in building a community on which the people could truly be God's people. Foolishness in seeking counsel from foolish people leads to foolish decisions. If only Rehoboam had taken advice of the elders to walk in God's way, to love his people. Unfortunately, the northern tribes of Israel, that is 10 tribes other than the tribe of Judah and Benjamin, rejected Rehoboam as king, and they raised Jeroboam as king instead. And the kingdom of David was divided into Judah and Israel then. And what about Jeroboam, the new king of Israel? 1 Kings chapter 11 tells us that through prophet Ahijah, God actually revealed his choice of letting Jeroboam be king over these 12 tribes of Israel, 10 tribes of Israel. And in verse 38, God specifically reminded Jeroboam that if you will listen to all that I command you, walk in my ways and do what is right in my sight, by keeping my statutes and my commandments, as David, my servant, did, I will be with you and will build you an enduring house, as I built for David. And I will give Israel to you. Now, all that God is asking of Jeroboam is to put his trust in him. Obey him and walk in his way. With all this in mind, if you were Jeroboam, what would you have done? With such specific instructions being given through a prophet. Sadly, Jeroboam lacked faith in God. He didn't trust God to ensure that Rehoboam would stay in Jerusalem. So he fortified his kingdom with a new capital, Shechem, as well as a strategic city, Peniel, on the east of Shechem, so that to ensure that Rehoboam will not able to outflank him if he would attack him in the new capital. He didn't trust God to ensure that the people of Israel would remain loyal to him, those 10 tribes of Israel who have upheld him as the new king. He didn't trust them because he was worried that if year after year they keep going back to Jerusalem to worship God, to offer the sacrifice, they may return back to Rehoboam. Therefore, Jeroboam devised the new plan, created a new religion for them. He created two golden calves and set them in two separate cities, one in Bethel, which is the southern tip of Israel, and Dan, which is the northern tip of Israel, so that these to become the two places that the Israelites would go to worship. Here are your gods, O Israel, who have brought you up out of Egypt. Jeroboam deceived his people by creating new gods for them. Now, instead of walking God's way, Jeroboam chose a different way, his own way. He was a good person to begin with, but he led the people of Israel in protest about the abuse of Solomon's power, but only to be seduced by the same power. He was a man whose concern for the people changed until that he was only concerned about himself. That is to say, he started off being concerned for his people, but eventually he was only concerned about himself, his position as king. And instead of leading his people to depend on God, he led them to depend on him. In his own insecurity, he opens the way for his and his nation's destruction. Now, to bring this whole story into context, let us use Solomon, Rehoboam, and Jeroboam as mirrors to examine our own lives. Solomon's failure to walk in God's way reminds us not to let successes in life draw us away from God. Take God's grace for granted and indulge in our own desires. Of course, we will never be like Solomon to marry 1,000 wives or partners. But his failure to guide Rehoboam properly and prepare him to be a wise king reminds us that we ought to be diligent and be responsible in bringing our next generations in God's way, not only to serve the faith community, but beyond. With our faith anchored in Christ, our works begin in accordance to God's way. And even with all the works that we have devoted ourselves in caring for the environment and humanity, we have to constantly remember that we are merely participating in God's work. Whatever we do, our works are our faith responses to God. Hence, we are walking in God's way. And in addition, we need to be aware of the risk of becoming like Rehoboam. Are we and our children simply inheriting the traditions of our parents without knowledge and understanding, just simply going through the motions? Or are we making those traditions our own, embracing them and seeking God in them? Are our children fired up by the faith of their parents? Are our children guided and inspired to maintain a stable Christian faith and an ongoing relationship with God? Is this what we have lived out for the next generations to follow? Do they feel a need to walk as their parents do with God? Or do they try to make it their own way, their way? Do they seek to live without the guidance and wisdom of a larger community? Is their quest for independence constructive or destructive? Well, Jeroboam serves a good reminder for all the leaders of the church, and that is to keep our focus on the mission and ministry of God rather than on ourselves. Even when at times we are doubtful and fearful, we are to keep our trust firmly anchored on God. We have the duty to keep the church in the knowledge of God, that is, who God is and where is God leading us, so that our focus is not on our abilities, on our gifts and personalities, but on God's grace, so that our trust is well and truly secured in God. Do you find walking God's way difficult because we can't do much about what we desire? Well, as a faith community, we are called to uphold one another as we care for and we love one another, pray for one another. We are never alone walking God's way. And God is just a prayer away, very near to us. And to conclude, let these two Bible quotes be an assurance and charge for every one of us. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Indeed, in Jesus, we will find rest for our souls. And in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, "What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." Amen.